Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Folks, if you would have told Kenny or myself a couple of months ago that the Browns would have ended up in the playoffs, winning a game on the road, we would have told you you're nuts. And we probably would have told our next guest the same thing. And he joins us now. This is Scott Petrak at BrownZone.com. Scotty, out of the gate, I want to ask you this question. Without the coronavirus pandemic withstanding, when you look back on this season, we couldn't even believe the fact that they would be considered one of the best teams, let alone the top eight teams in the NFL. What's your most memorable moment from this past season?
I'd have to say the playoff win over Pittsburgh. It just seemed to slay a bunch of demons. It comes against the Steelers, first playoff win in 26 years. I think that would be the one that stands out the most.
Scotty, when you talk about that and when we think about that, it was illogical to think they can win that game, right? I mean, no coach,
right.
No practices all week, players hurt left and right, Roethlisberger's rested, coming back and everything, you know, and to go on the road as a big underdog in that game, to win that, it's got to be a confidence builder, don't you think, for this entire franchise from the front office down to the players moving forward?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that at all, Kenny. And you're right. They overcame a ton to win that game. You know, and obviously you don't see starts like that. You don't see five turnovers, but they capitalized. They played well. Their defense took advantage of all the opportunities that Big Ben gave them. And I think it is a huge confidence builder because everybody says, hey, we can do this. I think the other half of that is you think the Steelers might be on their way down, which is a confidence builder for the organization. And I know some teams take huge leaps, right? And they win the Super Bowl in their first chance or whatever it is. But I feel like you need to take steps. And to me, making the playoffs and then winning the first game in the playoffs were two steps accomplished in the 2020 season. And that puts you two steps closer to that ultimate goal of winning the Super Bowl, right? And, you know, they obviously didn't get it done in Kansas City, but to even come close to winning that game, maybe that's another half a step, right? So if it's a five-step process, they went 2.5 steps this year, maybe they can finish the rest of the journey next year. I just really don't think you can overstate how important getting that playoff victory was.
Scotty, let's look at this offensive line and the way they've built it and the guys that we've lost over the last couple of years, whether they were traded to the Giants, opted out, ended up at Kansas City, or wherever. We saw a lot of Pro Bowl-type caliber offensive linemen leave this team. Okay, you signed Jack Conklin. You brought in Bill Callahan. Is this more a personnel issue, or is this great coaching? Because even when these guys went down like Conklin and right. Your guard, I mean, the offensive line really never missed a beat, did it?
Not a huge one. You know, I mean, it's a drop-off when you go from, you know, Jedrick Wills to Blake Hance, or to, you know, to Kendall Lamb to Blake Hance mm-hmm. in the division round of the playoffs. There's a drop-off there, but it was never noticeable. Where you said, uh-oh, the game plan got blown up because they were missing one or two offensive linemen. So, to me, that part is a credit to the coaching staff, and that starts with Bill Callahan. And I don't think you can ignore what he did, and I think he deserves all the credit in the world. But you also have to credit the personnel. And Jack Conklin was a big upgrade at right tackle. I love Chris Hubbard. I thought Chris Hubbard was fantastic in that sixth lineman role all year until he got hurt against the Giants. But Jack Conklin was a big upgrade from Chris Hubbard, right? So you improved right tackle. And then at left tackle, you brought in Jedrick Wills over Greg Robinson. And that, again, is a huge upgrade. Now, Wills, he deserves credit because he played well. He made the transition from right tackle at high school in Alabama mm-hmm. to left tackle. But as much credit as I want to give him for doing that, and he deserves it, again, Callahan helped him make that transition, helped him do it virtually.
Great point.
Right, in yep. May, June, July, until they got here at the end of July and started camp in August, Callahan really led him through that transition. So therefore, I think you have to credit both, you know, the players and the coaching staff.
Scotty, is there any concern at all to losing Callahan to an offensive coordinator position, step up in pay by somebody else with all the different coaching moves that are happening out there?
Yeah, Kenny, I don't think there is. And the only reason I don't think there is because of the stage of his career that he's in. He's already been a head coach. He's already been a coordinator. I think he's probably comfortable, and I've not asked him this. This is just me kind of guessing, is that he's comfortable in that role, that he took this job a year ago thinking, okay, this is what I'm due for whatever, 2, 3, 4 years, and then probably retire. You know, his son's a coach in the division with the Bengals. So, you know, I guess if he got the right offer and opportunity, maybe he would have to take it. But I like the fact that he's older and at the end of his career as opposed to an up-and-coming guy, because then I would assume that he'd be out the door.
Right.
Scott Petrak is our guest right now at BrownZone.com. Scotty, when we look at this team, and again, I want to go back to the record. You know, 11-5 regular season. 11-4 now?
Yeah.
Okay.
11-5.
Okay, so you end up winning 12 games. Bottom line is you get into the playoffs, and we looked at this defense all season long, and we thought to ourselves, okay, we know there's needs on this defense. We weren't crazy about it, but it's good enough to win a playoff game. I'm good with that. Most people would be. But when you look at this team and you look at the secondary and we think that, okay, there might be some openings there, we don't truly know what we've got in Greedy Williams or Grant Delpit, and we know we've got other needs. So I want you to put on your Andrew Berry hat right now. And we all know there's a lot of needs, especially on a defense. I mean, they've got to be pretty decent, I guess, they get to the playoffs. What is the biggest need, Scotty?
The biggest need on defense, you know what, I'm going to go with the defensive end opposite Myles Garrett. And I thought Vernon played well, especially in the second half of the year, but then his Achilles ruptured. He's a free agent anyway, so, you know, there's no way you can count on him to be your number two end coming back. And I just think that's such an important position in any defense, especially this one. I think you need to give Myles Garrett help. So that's where I put number one. I would go the number two cornerback would be my number two defensive need. Terrence Mitchell, I thought held his own all year when there's no way he thought he was going to be starting all year. And he played like almost every snap all season long. I don't remember a game where I go, man, he cost him the game. I remember plays, or, you know, he dropped a couple interceptions, but the point is, he played well and probably above expectations, but he's also a free agent. You got Greedy Williams coming back, like you mentioned. Even if he's healthy, I don't think we saw enough as a rookie out of Greedy Williams to say, yeah, I'm comfortable with him being my number two cornerback. So I think you need to address that, at least bring in competition for Greedy Williams. And then linebacker's so tough because they had a bunch of bodies in there. You know, I think the rookie Jacob Phillips will be better in his second year. I thought Taki Taki played better as his second year went on this year. But B.J. Goodson's a free agent, and he was probably your best overall linebacker. Malcolm Smith played a ton of snaps in nickel, and he's a free agent. So a lot of these guys that we started to learn their names, Kevin Johnson, the nickelback, they were all signed to one-year contracts. So Andrew Berry's got a lot of decisions to make as far as who he even thinks about bringing back, and then how do I address those positions. Now, Grant Delpit should help the safety position, assuming he's back from that Achilles tendon. I really think that's a huge upgrade, and you compare him with Ronnie Harrison, and that should take one need away. But there's questions across the defense. There's no doubt about it.
Scott Petrak, our guest via the Wake 'Em Way Hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at Scott Petrak. Check out his website, brownzone.com, for all the latest on the Cleveland Browns. And Scotty, you and I and JT talked all season long towards the end of the year that, hey, he's got to finish in the top three, at least Kevin Stefanski for Coach of the Year. And the Pro Football Writers of America said, nope, not top three. He is the top coach. How surprised were you that he won that award, or maybe you weren't? And just your thoughts on year one under Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, I was not surprised. I don't think it's a slam dunk. And, you know, the AP awards, which are the quote-unquote official awards, come out the night before the Super Bowl. So we'll see if he wins that one. I think Sean McDermott from the Bills won the Sporting News Coach of the Year. So there's candidates out there. Ron Rivera, you know, Mike Tomlin, Steelers got off to a great start before
they
struggled.
He sucks. Yeah, never mind.
Right.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
At some point, he was my guy, though. 11-0, I thought, how do you not vote for him? So there's other candidates, but I just think, to me, Kevin Stefanski's the guy. Just given the history of the Browns, you know, the carousel at coach, what they went through with Freddie Kitchens just a year ago, and maybe we're so close to this that we appreciate it more than, you know, right. a writer in another city would. But the transformation under Kevin Stefanski, it was just incredible. And the calmness and the even-keeled demeanor he displayed all throughout the offseason when it was all virtual, throughout training camp and the preseason, throughout the season when they lost big game, you know, by a bunch to Baltimore and Pittsburgh early, and there was no panic. I thought he did a great job on the sidelines. I thought he did a great job as a play caller. So, to me, you know, I don't think you can – if the Browns don't have this type of season without Kevin Stefanski. And the fact that it looks like the Haslams finally got it right after miss after miss after miss after miss, I think gives fans hope, right? It's all about the coach and the quarterback.
Right.
And I think they got both of them right, and I have really no doubt that they got the coach right.
Scotty, last week when James Harden, they made that deal with the Brooklyn Nets, and the reason I'm bringing this all into play right now is because the Cavaliers jump in on this deal, and we get a kid, Jarrett Allen. He's a center, and it's a guy that the Cavaliers now tell us they had their eye on for a while. Is there anyone in the league, maybe you've heard some rumblings around camp or anything, that maybe the Browns have their eye on that they might be willing to make a deal in the offseason to bring in?
Well, I'm sure that there's a ton of guys like that, GT. I mean, you know, even on a lower level, you know, that Blake Hantz, the guy that came in and played at guard in the Pittsburgh game, in the playoff game, and then he played a tackle in the Kansas City playoff game. They signed him off the Jets practice squad on January 2nd. But they were looking at him all year long, thinking, okay, if there's an opportunity, maybe we sign him in the offseason. They tried him out before the season started or right at the beginning of the season. So you have all those kind of low-level guys, right, to fill out your roster kind of guys. Mm-hmm. And then you have the guys where you look at and go, okay, if this guy's a free agent, can we get him? If there's a salary cap issue, can we pry him away in a trade? And to me, that's a spot where the Browns might be able to pounce this year because they have some cap room. You know, I think it's $24 million if it's – they haven't announced the cap yet, but they've set the floor. It can be no lower than $175 million. Mm-hmm. So if it's $175 million, the Browns still have $24 million of cap space. So there's going to be teams out there, right? The Saints, the Steelers, the teams that have won for years that are up against it, salary cap perspective, because it's just, you know, this year I think it was $200 million. Such a huge drop. So there's going to be players out there, and we're talking the older veterans, you know, maybe guys halfway through their second contracts, 28, 29, that you might be able to go get in an easy trade. You give up a low mid-round draft pick, and you can get this guy as long as you're willing to take on his contract. Mm-hmm. And those are the kind of guys or the kind of situations I think will be available to Andrew Berry this offseason. Whether or not those guys are available in trades or even they get cut and then the free agent market gets saturated, teams with salary cap space are going to be able to pounce and maybe on one-year deals. And we've seen that. I think Andrew Berry's fine with doing that for a number of guys. I think he's going to be able to take advantage of those situations, and I think they're set up perfectly to really overhaul the defense because I don't think they need to do much on offense at all. It's all about overhauling that defense.
I tell you what, though, watching the Kansas City game, it was apparent to me that you really missed an OBJ. What do you do with Odell Beckham Jr. next year?
Or JT, I could not agree more with you, and we've talked about this, and I don't know, I can't remember if we always agreed on this. I thought they would always miss Odell. I never bought into the argument that they're better off without.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was me. I was the one on that side, Scotty. I think they're better without him, but go ahead.
I knew it was you, but, you know.
Yeah.
I thought the Kansas City game drove home that point.
Yep.
And I don't think it's necessarily obvious every game, and depending on what defense you're playing, but I think when you're playing the elite teams in this league and the teams that are coached by the best coaching staff like Kansas City has, they can take away what the Browns do best on offense without Odell. Is that deep threat? Is that it's not only deep, it's a speed threat, it's a playmaking threat, it's the guy on the Browns quit running that end around play fake that they used with Odell in the year because nobody's a threat. Kansas City runs that all the time and it just changes how the defense has to play against you. Right? We saw it with Tyreek Hill, we saw it with Mecole Hardman. The guy runs around the end and it affects everything on the defense, and the Browns didn't have that option without Odell. So I think that got drove home by the Kansas City game. I think you need as many playmakers as you can on offense to compete with the Kansas Cities of the world, to compete with the Buffaloes of the world, the Ravens as you go forward, you know, thinking you're going to be in the AFC playoffs year in and year out. So I know it's a ton of money, right? It's $14 million salary and $1 million roster bonus. And if they got the perfect trade offer, maybe they would move him. They can't cut him because the money's going to be guaranteed because he's going to be rehabbing the injury when it gets guaranteed. So then you got to get the right offer to move him. And I don't think they'd ever say, no, we're not going to trade him. He's untouchable. That's not how the Browns operate. But I think the default is bring back Odell. Think he fits in this offense. Think that the offense grew without him and it would just continue to grow with or without him. I think he's back next year, and I think the offense will pick up where it left off.
I will say this much. I will say they did miss a threat. I'm not a huge Odell guy, so maybe it's somebody else to fill that role if they can make a trade for him, but we'll see how that plays out, and I hope that Baker has grown to where he doesn't cave maybe under the pressure of Odell in the huddle saying, throw me the ball. You know what I mean, Scotty? Because it looked like he forced the ball to Odell, trying to get him the ball to make him happy.
That's a great point, and I don't, and I think you have to say that, and I guess when I make my argument, it's with the assumption that Baker has grown to that level.
Okay.
And he's developed to the guy that isn't going to force the ball and can tune out Odell if he's whining in the huddle, right? And if he's barking in the huddle. And maybe I'm overstating how far Baker came, but I don't think I am. I think the 20 touchdowns to two interceptions that Baker threw after the Odell injury raised his confidence and confirmed in his mind it's all about good decision making, and I don't think that goes away just because Odell would come back.
Perfect segue into my next and final question for you, Scotty Petrak, and that is Baker Mayfield. He's due a fifth-year option at some point here, and my understanding in, Scotty, it's going to be $20 million because he didn't make the Pro Bowl, I think, is what that fifth year would be. So do the Browns just automatically this offseason pick that up and then think about a contract extension, or do they go balls to the wall and just say, screw it, he is our guy, let's work on a long-term extension now?
Yeah, I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think you can do both. To me, there's no doubt that they pick up the fifth-year option. It's just $20 million, or even if it's 23, I mean, the final numbers and set.
Right.
That's a no-brainer to pay a starting quarterback that is any good. I think he showed enough in the second half of the year where you want to go ahead and lock him in long-term. I think that saves you money moving forward. It gives you some certainty to your salary cap situation, knowing, okay, here's what we're paying the quarterback. We know for the next 5 or 6 years, right, because you have the end of his rookie contract plus the extension. And I think that's how Andrew Berry wants to operate with the salary cap. And I asked him that the other day. And he said, yeah, generally speaking, we want to get these guys early. We want to be aggressive in our contract management. Like you saw the Indians do back in the day, like you see the Eagles do. Now there's some risk to that, right? If you sign, the Eagles locked up Carson Wentz and now he struggles and now you figure you almost have to fire your coach because you're committed to the quarterback. So right. I could understand if the Browns wanted more time from Baker, wanted more data from Baker, but I think he's shown enough, and I think that's the feeling in the organization, is if you can find the right deal, and the fact is you would save money. If you can get him signed before Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen sign their contracts, you're saving money because we don't know how it works. The latest guy to sign gets the most money. So I think there's reason for the Browns to be aggressive with Baker, and I expect a long-term deal to get done, assuming Baker's willing, and I don't know why he wouldn't be.
All right, I lied. One more question. I'm going to go rapid fire. I did this with JT. I'm going to do it with you. Who would you take, Baker Mayfield or the other quarterback that I'm going to name? I'm going to name a bunch of them. All right, Scotty? So we'll just fly through this to see where Baker kind of ranks overall. Here we go. Baker Mayfield or Mahomes? I got to ask it, so go ahead.
Mahomes.
Baker or Deshaun Watson?
Deshaun Watson.
Baker or Josh Allen?
Josh Allen.
Baker or Aaron Rodgers?
Well, for like the next 4 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, 10 years from now, we take Baker Mayfield. But, I mean, there's a window, but right now, we take Aaron Rodgers.
Baker or Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson.
Baker or Joe Burrow?
That's a tough one, Kenny. I guess Baker, just because I've seen him do it more.
Okay, Baker or Justin Herbert?
Man. Baker, but it's awful close.
Okay, Baker or Lamar Jackson?
Oh, man. I know. I mean, I get where you're going with this.
Right?
Yeah, I know exactly where you're going. I would probably take Lamar. Again, okay. It's close. I mean, it was a no-brainer a year ago, right? I think it's close now. Your points, well taken. My only counter would be, what's your other option? Right.
That, well, that's just it. Is there another option in free agency or a trade, which I don't think there is, other than maybe Dak Prescott, if the Cowboys want to trade him, who I would take over Baker. But there aren't many options, right, Scotty?
That's how I look at this, Ken. It's not necessarily either or. It's what would you rather this guy? It's if we don't commit to Baker, what's our next quarterback solution?
And exactly.
I struggle to find one. I mean, yeah, you could trade for Deshaun Watson, right? And you'd have to give up the farm, and he might not want to come here, and maybe they wouldn't trade with you because they don't want Baker, right? So then what's the other option? And if you believe Baker can play like a top 12-ish quarterback, which he's in that ballpark, right? The 20-2 puts him in the top 6, 8, 10, whatever you want to say. You can go to a Super Bowl with that kind of player. And the only difference between him and a bunch of those guys you mentioned is he's not the same athlete, which – isn't his fault. It's just the way it is, and you miss that athleticism, and that's the separator, and he's got to work to overcome that.
Yeah, and top 12 is right about where he is, 12, 11, 10, somewhere in that vicinity, Scotty. And if that's the case, you lock him up because you haven't had a quarterback since Bernie Kosar or Brian Sipe going back that many years, so you don't let him get away. That's why, and I wasn't a huge Baker guy when they drafted him, and even after last year. But after what I saw this year, if you're the Browns, you lock him up, and that's you don't have to worry about your head coach and your quarterback, the two most important pieces.
I completely agree with that, Kenny.
Scotty, great stuff, my friend. We'll talk to you again down the road. Enjoy the off season for however long that lasts until they start doing things with trades or free agency. And keep up the great work there at brownzone.com, all right?
Thanks, fellas. You know where to find me.